A new beginning, let's go. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Baby said she wanna go to the game. Taught her how to say Padre gang. Started back rocking the brown. Ever since we've been knocking them down. Mitchell and Ness with the old school name. All of the homies holler Padre gang. Yeah, that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 230 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. I'm your host, Ben Fadden. Padres get their series with Seattle going later today in Seattle after the day off yesterday. Obviously, they just lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers over the weekend at Petco. They're going to look to hopefully take both games of this Seattle series, although Seattle is a tough team right now. They're in wild card position. They're a playoff team. If they're going to take these two games, or if they're going to have more success in the season, though, their offense is going to have to be better as a whole. And that's my big topic for today's episode. Don't know how long it's going to be, maybe 20 minutes or so. But I just wanted to discuss that because I know that there's a lot of frustration with the fan base about Juan Soto. And, you know, it's understandable. People are frustrated. They can be frustrated. They have a right to be frustrated, and they have a reason to be frustrated. I think he's hitting 1-something in September. Let me check that. Hang on 1 second. I saw the splits. I got to go look up the splits. Probably should have had this available. My bad. It's one of his worst slumps of his career. He's hitting 107 in September. So it's definitely justifiable for you to be mad at Juan Soto or be frustrated with Juan Soto. But I don't think all of the attention should be just on Juan Soto, with him not producing offensively. In the month of September, the Padres were 4-5. I know the month just started, but they're 4-5. Just got it handed to him by the Dodgers these last two weekends. The majority of the time, Padres won the two Friday games, but couldn't do anything after that. They've allowed 23 more runs than they've scored, so you would think that that's like a big pitching problem, and you should be concerned probably about some starting pitchers, Joe Musgrove, maybe Blake Snell. Obviously, you're always worried about that one inning. Like, just don't blow up because that one inning, that ruins a start like we saw over the weekend on, when was that, Saturday, in that fifth inning when he was walking guys and giving up doubles all over the place. Ruined his start. His start, I thought, was pretty good until then. So you could be worried about pitching. I like where the bullpen's at. Stammen, he's not going to be pitching in those high-leverage situations. I think Josh Hader's pitching better. Always have liked Nick Martinez out of the bullpen this year. Suarez, Johnson, congrats to him, by the way, for coming back from the IL this past weekend. Steven Wilson's allowed 1 run since, I think, the middle of August. So I'm confident in the bullpen, but the offense is a definite concern. This morning, I dove into the numbers a little bit. Because there's been talk about Soto struggles. And so I was like, there's talk about Soto struggles. So let me see how other guys are doing. Because I know a lot of the focus is on him, but what about everyone else? And so I know these are limited numbers, but this is the month of September. Their batting averages and their on base percentages. So I'm going pretty much outfield to infield to catcher, those positions. So Profar, 235 average in September, on base percentage 270. Trent Grisham, 105 average in September, on base percentage of 227. Jose Azokar, a 357 average, on base percentage of 438. Juan Soto, a 107 batting average, 286 on base percentage. Will Myers, 167 batting average, 259 on base percentage. Josh Bell has a 257 average in September. He has a 333 on base percentage. Crony, 257 average, 297 on base percentage. Ha-Sung Kim's hitting 156 this month, 250 on base percentage. Manny, 242 average, 306 on base percentage. Austin Nola, 107 average, 286 on base percentage. Jorge Alfaro, 143 average, 250 on base percentage. Luis Camposano, 200 average, 333 on base percentage. So I didn't, you know, include Eggy Rosario or, you know, Luis Liberato, because those are like really, really limited. I included guys that are playing. There's probably some people that want to say that Campy should be playing more than Nola or, probably Nola. I'm fine with playing Alfaro. And I tend to agree with that, at least right now. You know, Campy's hitting better at the plate, I think. I disagreed, you know, on the pregame show before Sunday's game. I was like, I'm fine with Nola catching Musgrove. Familiarity, all that stuff. But after Musgrove struggled on Sunday, left some pitches over the middle of the plate, and Nola's just, he's not a home run threat or any power threat at the plate, hitting at the bottom of the order. Camposano, when he was catching Musgrove that Wednesday game against the Giants, Musgrove had his best start in a while. Very successful. I know the Dodgers lineup is more talented than the Giants, but Campy and Musgrove, they seemed pretty comfortable with each other in that one start. I know it's limited time. I know Nola and Musgrove are more comfortable with each other, but who's producing more offensively? Who is more of a threat offensively? Is it Camposano or is it Nola? I think it's Camposano. So I think Camposano should, I think him and Alfaro should be getting probably the majority of the at-bats at the catcher position. I don't think that's going to happen, though, because the Padres, they love Nola on defense. Can't really throw runners out, though, especially guys that are trying to steal second. Can't throw guys out. And Campy, so Nola, yeah, he does have to step up offensively. Like, it's going to take more than Soto. You know, that's the title of this episode. Nola's one of those guys. If the Padres, it doesn't matter, you know, the conversation or the question, the debate, should Campy be starting or Nola? You know, which one? I probably would say Campy, but that doesn't matter. If they're going to continue throwing Nola out there, the bottom line is Nola has to be better at the plate. He has to produce more. You know, I want the on-base percentage probably to be like 320-ish for any player that's starting. If you want to be a real World Series contender, I want you, or I'll be nicer, over 300. That's what I would want. And the Padres have four guys right now of those guys I named in September. So far this month, with an on-base percentage over 300. So I know, look, it's a limited playing time, a limited span that I'm talking about here with September, and we're not even in the middle of the month yet. We're kind of in the middle of the month. You know, Alfaro, he was hurt. He has like two games. So that's like nothing. So you don't have to really pay attention to Alfaro's numbers. It's more Nola, guys with the bigger sample size. Ha-Sung Kim hitting 156 this month. He's playing every day. He had no hits in the Dodgers series on Friday night. I think he popped out and he grounded into a double play in some situations with runners in scoring position. He needs to be better. You know, Azokar, I like what I'm seeing out of him. I don't want to bench Grisham because I believe he's more of a power threat than Azokar. But I'll say this again, Grisham, just like Nola, needs to be better offensively then. He's had some really clutch home runs this year. I think he has a couple walk-offs. Obviously, the home run that he hit on Friday night was huge, gave the Padres the lead over the Dodgers at that point, 3-1. But he has to come through, I think, more consistently and has to get on base more. 227 on base percentage, I think that needs to improve. I'm not too mad about Profar. I think he's still having pretty good at-bats. But Will Myers, 167 average so far this month, 259 on base percentage, struck out four times on Sunday. Three of them were looking. So that's three free outs, essentially, that you're giving the other team. You're not even swinging the bat, right? The last at-bat just froze him with the fastball. I don't think that can happen consistently if Will wants to be in the lineup consistently. The good news is that Brandon Drury is expected to be back, not for this Seattle series, but for the Diamondback series. It is a head thing, so I wouldn't expect him to be playing every day or anything like that when he returns. But I think Will has to be better. Josh Bell, you'd like to see more power out of him. His on-base percentage this month has been good, over 300, 333. He obviously got off to that slow start, but I've liked more what I've seen out of him. Manny, obviously, is carrying the offense. He's been carrying the offense all year long. Like I already listed earlier, 306 on-base percentage so far this month. I know he struck out a few times in this Dodgers series. Didn't look so great on Sunday. That one strikeout where he went on a knee. But look, I'm not worried about Manny, just like I'm not worried about Soto. Those are two of the best hitters on the planet. And so it's not just Soto that has to be better. It's not, even if Soto and Manny were both on, like that would help if Soto was on at the same time as Manny, but there's still, that still wouldn't be enough to, for me at least, to be like this full World Series contender or even nationally pennant contender if only two of those guys are on. Like they still need more production. And I talked about this on episode 229 when I was kind of reacting to that Dodger-Padre series over the weekend. The difference I can identify between the Padres and the Dodgers is the depth, right? The Dodgers have, you know, their eight hitter, Chris Taylor. He can hit a home run at any point. I don't feel like that with Jose Azokar. I know he's getting on base a lot, so that's good. But you don't feel that with him. I don't feel that, you know, when Austin Nola comes up to the plate, that at any moment he can go, you know, double in the gap. I know he's done it, but I don't feel like, I just don't feel that with the bottom of the Padres order. You know, when Grisham's up at the plate, I know he can hit a home run. I know he can get on, he can bunt, but you'd like production throughout the order to be better. Chris Taylor, for example, I think he was hitting eighth, like I just said, during Sunday's game. His September on base percentage is 333. Right. You go look at the bottom of the Padres order. I know Azokar has been down there. But like, you know, Grisham, if he's in there this month, 227 is on base percentage. That's a big difference between Taylor and Grisham. And obviously Nola, 286. You'd want that to be higher. You want that to be higher. Ha-Sung Kim, he's been leading off sometimes. I like him as the leadoff hitter when he's on and stuff. But his average needs to be better. I know everything's not about average, but obviously a 156 average, that's not good. 250 on base percentage, I think that has to be better. So there's a lot of different names here other than just Juan Soto that I think need to be better, that need to produce more consistently offensively if the Padres want to put away the Brewers and not have to worry about only having a two-game lead on them after Sunday's action. So that was the main point of this episode. Obviously, you know, you can have concern about the pitching. And I guess that applies to the title as well. It's going to take more than Soto. It's going to take more than, you know, Yu Darvish being an ace in this rotation, right? I mean, if you go, let me look up Joe Musgrove's splits here or his game logs. You know, obviously, I have the Musgrove towel behind me. I'm a big Musgrove fan. He's probably my second favorite player on the team outside of Crony. But he does have to be better, too. Eight earned runs in his last two starts. Allowed three runs against the Giants on August 31st. That was late in the outing. He pitched good there. But, you know, I'm concerned more about the location of his pitches, which I guess it's not the worst thing in the world, right? He's not just being wild, like outside the zone, kind of like Hader, where you have to go additional steps. One, find the zone first and then find location. Here with Musgrove, at least for me, what I'm looking at, find the location. Because he pitched good to start out off that Dodger outing, but he left pitches over the middle of the plate when it was supposed to be down and away. He left it over the middle of the plate to Taylor and Turner, I believe, on those home runs. Times where you don't want to leave pitches over the plate. I know you don't want to leave them over the plate first batter, first inning or anything, but you'd rather have them cruise through the whole start than, hit that rough patch there and then have to be out of the game, not being able to finish through six. And I know Joe Musgrove, he holds himself to a higher standard than, just going 5 1/3 innings like he did on Sunday. So I'm confident that'll be better. Again, it's more about location and mechanics. But yeah, he has to be better. You look at Snell, obviously, in his start. He has to be better. You just don't want to see those blowups. He had been pitching in the second half Snell, he's always pitching better than he does in the first half. But you still want to avoid those blowups. August 24th against Cleveland, 6 earned runs. There was blowups there. Last time out, that was on Saturday against the Dodgers. Doesn't get an out in the 5th inning. 5 earned runs. Walks 3 guys. And I know at least one of those guys scored. Wasn't striking out a ton of guys, which is fine. But you got to try not to walk 3 guys every start, right? You just got to hit your spots more. And I feel like he gets mentally flustered on the mound when he's not getting calls that he wants. You see him jumping on the mound, you feel like it gets in his head. There's guys on the pitching staff that you want to see more consistency out of. And I know there's obviously Stammen. It's like, get things together, but the good thing there is I don't anticipate Craig Stammen pitching in high-leverage situations this year, the rest of this year. He's there to be pitching in, 7-3, 7-2 games, hopefully. The sample sizes that I drew, it's September. Small sample sizes, hasn't even been 15 games, right, in this month. But I think that is an example that's recent, right? What are you going to judge on what guys can do in the near future, what they've recently done and what the Padres offense has recently done as a whole? I don't think is good enough if they want to make it to the postseason with the schedule that they have coming up. I still think this team will make the postseason because I don't think Kim's going to hit 156 the rest of this month. I don't think Juan Soto's going to hit 107 the rest of this month, right? And I think Manny is going to continue to hit. And I hope that they can get Campy some more at-bats. But right now is right now. And right now, the offense is a concern for me. Just like it's been pretty much since Soto got here. I'm pretty sure it was a concern before that. I know they had a great start with that Colorado game, right? And it was like, wow, this offense, it's amazing. I know they've been without Brandon Drury, this last, week plus. And that's going to help when he comes back because that means that Myers probably won't be playing every day. You'll get Bell and Drury, 4 or 5 in the lineup probably. But still, even when Drury comes back, is it a guarantee that he hits great with runners in scoring position like he's done this year? I think he's the best hitter in baseball with runners in scoring position. I don't think there's a guarantee with that. Are they going to be playing him every day? Is he going to be getting 4 or 5 at-bats a day? I don't know, coming off of, being on the concussion list. So other guys are going to have to step up. I believe other guys will step up. Cronenworth has a .297 on-base percentage so far this month, which has been better. Compared to what he was doing before. I feel like, when was that? The rough patch. Let me look up his game logs. He's been doing better as of late. Obviously, he was struggling at home, like the worst batting average in baseball for the majority of the year. Still has an above average OPS plus for the season. But let me pull up his numbers here. So, yeah, the rough stretch. I mean, he went. If you just look at his game logs and look at the hits, there's a lot of games where he, you know, got hits. It's not like he went a big stretch without getting a hit. Maybe a 4 or 5 game stretch at the beginning of August. But it's been more like the extra base hits, not a ton of that. And Cronenworth, he's not, you know, this power hitter. Homered on Friday. What I've liked out of him, and I noticed this a little bit in the Dodgers series last, I think it was Sunday. I know they lost that game. But it feels to me like it's more of a line drive swing. So that's encouraging. That's one of the other guys that I think will continue to play well and hit well and continue to get on base. So I'm still encouraged by some guys in this lineup. I just also think that the focus does need to be on some other guys other than just Juan Soto. I'm not trying to cover for Soto. He needs to be better. He would tell you that he needs to be better. But it is a team. It is a team. It's not, you know, the NBA where, oh, if LeBron, oh, he sucks. He's been sucking. If he starts to play better, oh, this team can, you know, get an 8 seed in the playoffs or whatever. Like, you need more than one guy to perform. You know, Manny, it's hard. I would think it's going to be hard for Manny to be the one-man show the rest of this month and at the same time the Padres make the postseason. You know, other guys got to contribute. We saw that, right? We saw that the All-Far walk-off game. It was a team effort. We got to get more of those and have the starting pitchers not give up, you know, 3 home runs like it happened in that game. So the big message, obviously, from this episode, and this is pretty much it, is just the consistency. Want to see more consistency from the offense and have some real depth in this lineup, have confidence in the bottom of the lineup. That's what I want to see. And obviously, I want to see Juan Soto be Juan Soto for the rest of this month. You hope that it can start against Seattle in this series. We'll see. And continue it into Arizona and all that. But yeah, that's pretty much the episode 230. Feel free to give me your thoughts on social media at Talking Friars on Twitter and Instagram or in the comments here on YouTube. For the podcast audience, I appreciate you listening as well. This episode is brought to you by Gaglione Bros. Famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries located on Friars Road in Petco Park and inside Snapdragon Stadium. You can visit gaglionebros.com to view their entire menu. Great cheesesteaks, fries, cheesesteak fries. I encourage you to check them out if you have not already. If you haven't, you're missing out, I think. All right, that's going to do it. I'll be back for the pregame show later today. Go Padres. Talk to you later.